Greetings. I am back. You thought you could get rid of me, but you could not. If you don't know it, I was on vacation, then I spoke at Matt Moreland's home congregation. So I was gone for two Sundays and had a great time, visited a lot of different people. And yes, if Matt ever tells you he's from a backwoods part of the country, you believe him, okay? I mean, they were giving out PhDs in banjos in this land. No, but really good people. We enjoyed a lot. Matt has a very interesting childhood. It's kind of fun to see the land and the images catch up to the personality sometime. Hope to go out there again someday. We got to do a little whitewater rafting in Colorado with the family. That was a lot of fun. Cold, but there's no place like home, though. Take it from Dorothy. I'm going to be contacting a lot of you this week about the small home group Bible studies. We do have some set up, and we're in the process of setting others up. So don't be surprised. You say, oh, well, you just surprised me with this. I'll let you know now. And if you want one in your home, let me know today, and we'll work on setting that up. Many different topics, many different books of the Bible that we can study. This morning, you may have noticed that I have a hatchet up here. It's Kevin Shaw's hatchet. Tomahawk is what he calls it. Has nothing to do with quality of sermon. I will not be preaching a hatchet job here this morning. But the title of the sermon this morning is Bearing the Hatchet. And the Lord has greatly blessed this congregation the last couple of years, resulting in growth both spiritually and numerically. This month marked our eighth year, the beginning of our eighth year that we've been here in the Camp Hill Church family. And I can honestly say we're just as happy as we were the day that we came. I'm proud to call you my church family. You know, having gone back to my homeland in the Midwest recently, I got to see a lot of the saints of Iowa and Missouri a lot of times they would ask, so when are you coming back to the region? You know, surely you're going to move now. I tell them consistently, how can I leave my family in Camp Hill? You know, this is where I'm at now. And I'm very proud of you because you have done a great work here in this area of the country. And Lord willing, I'd like to see some of the fruits of your labors being paid off for years to come. And we really do have a great church family here in Camp Hill, and good cooks, too. You'll see that afterwards. I'll tell you what, I'm going to buy all of you lunch today. Just meet me downstairs, okay? I love you that much. It's with that in mind I bring to your attention something that needs to be addressed not only in this congregation but in every congregation where the Lord's church is located. Satan is on the prowl like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The one who steals, kills, and destroys is looking to destroy any good work for the Lord. There have been many good works in the kingdom that have collapsed in the midst of her own progresses because of the inability to bury the hatchet. And that's why I have the hatchet up here today. Let's define what burying the hatchet is. According to Wikipedia, the most supreme source available to those on the internet, make sure you triple check the sources on there. But it's an American English saying. It means to make peace. And the phrase comes from the figurative and literal practice of putting away the tomahawk at the end of hostilities among native tribes, particularly the Iroquois, in the eastern United States. What they would do is, at the end of strife between the tribes, between the U.S. soldiers or French soldiers, whoever it was, when it was time to make peace, they would take their hatchet and they would dig a hole and they'd bury it. And what that said was, it's over. You know, we have peace now. We don't need this particular device anymore. And it's with that in mind that I need to state that we of the Lord's church are defined by our abilities to be able to bury the hatchet. Because everybody has a hatchet. And if we don't bury those hostilities that can arise before each other, it will destroy any good work. We are a people that can bury the hatchet and be at peace with another, for that is what we are defined as Christians. Philippians 2, 1 and 2, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete, Paul says, by what? Being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. That's unity, my friends. We have to be able to learn to bury the hatchet. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13, that we are to live in peace with one another. If we can't come and meet on the Lord's day and meet throughout the week as the people of God, as a refuge away from the world, a world of hostilities, hurt, and pain, if we can't have peace here, then the world will not see us for what we need to be. But as you know, a great many labors have been put to death because it's so difficult to bury the hatchet. Because let's be honest, sometimes we get on each other's nerves, don't we? I'm telling you, we do. It's difficult to bury the hatchet. Sometimes we want to bury the hatchet in the back of somebody's head. I mean, that's the type of burying of the hatchet we're used to. Because, all it takes is, just spend a little bit too much time together, and then those ticks start coming out on you, and you start, like, getting angry at people, and maybe little habits or preferences start getting on your nerves, and you say, that's it. But you have to be able to possess the ability to identify and bury the hatchet. Instead of dealing with problems, we end up causing one. And this lesson is aimed at making you an expert at being able to bury the hatchet and move on to the work of our common Savior, Jesus Christ. We will be using the 18th chapter of Matthew, if you could open your Bibles up to that. We're going to have 4 points, 4 areas in which to focus your mind and make you into that hatchet barrier that you can be. Whenever that opportunity arises, you need to think of these 4 points. Number 1, pride is the hatchet that must be buried. That's your primary hatchet. Look at 1 through 6 of Matthew 18. And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them, said, truly I say unto you, unless if you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such a child in my name receives me. And whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it is better for him that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. What is the greatest source of hatchet power? That's pride. It's always pride. It's one of the 7 deadlies mentioned in Proverbs. It's what comes before the fall. It's why Satan fell from heaven. And it's the number one destroyer of relationships in a growing congregation. Pride is that hatchet. and we fail to humble ourselves toward one another, we cannot succeed as a family. Therefore, we must bury the hatchet of pride, and peace will always be there if we do that. There is no winner when this hatchet rears its ugly head. When there's a spiritual war, it always brings forth a spiritual death. And what happens when we don't bury the hatchet of pride, when we start swinging this, I'm right, you're wrong, I just refuse to hear you out, I'm not going to let go, don't worry. I promise you, you will not sleep this morning. Kevin said, this is real sharp, so I made sure my sippy cup holder is protected here. I won't get hurt now. You ever hear the story about, is Don Pownell here this morning? Yeah. Yeah, remember when you and your wife both cut yourself on the same knife at Kemp's? One of them cut themselves with a knife by accident. Oh, you shouldn't do with that. How sharp is that? And they both cut. They both got stitches at the same hospital at the same time. Be careful with sharp objects. But as a preacher, I've often been exposed to pain in the heart of Christians, young Christians. They left because their feelings were hurt by, quote, more mature saints. And oftentimes they might say, you know, they don't care about me. How can I be with hypocrites? They were mean to me. And then the more, quote, mature ones say, well, they need to get over it. You know, they need to get past this. When are they going to grow up? They start swinging that hatchet around and people get hurt. I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over again. You know, we can be right in doctrine but wrong in approach. We can be right in our intentions, but wrong in our actions. And we have to be willing to bury that hatchet of pride. We have to be able to admit that the source of all stumbling blocks is pride. But what if it was something else? And eventually, in order to become a stumbling block, there must be somebody who's absolutely willing not to budge in any way at all. They've eliminated all doubt that they might be wrong. That's pride. The opposite of that is humility. See, back then, you know, when I grew up, children should be seen and not heard. Well, my generation didn't make that up. You heard it if you're 70. If you're 90, you heard it. If you go back in time, this is what they were saying back then, too. Children had to be silent. So Jesus takes this humble child, this silent child that isn't the focus of anything, who was at probably the back of the crowd, said, look, be like this child, be humble. Because you have to convert and become like little children, humble. Or we hold our tongue. Or we won't be prideful. We have to remember to forget it. Clara Barton, she founded the American Red Cross. She was once reminded of an especially cruel thing that was done to her years prior. Lady said, Miss Barton, you know, don't you recall that? Don't you recall this event happening to you? She said, I don't remember it. She says, no, you know, I'm telling you this happened. And then Miss Barton said, no, I distinctly remember forgetting that. We have to remember to forget it. You know, be careful how you choose your battles. Choose your battles wisely. Number two, God is serious about bearing the hatchet. He's extremely serious about bearing the hatchet. Continue on in verse 7 and chapter 18. Woe to those. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks must come, but woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. And if your hand or foot cause you to stumble, cut it off, throw it from you. And if your eye, or better to go into enter life crippled and lame than having two hands and two feet and enter into eternal damnation. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck that out. It's better to enter eternity with one eye than it is hell with two. See to it you despise, do not despise these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually behold my face of my Father who is in heaven. For the The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And then the passage which Andrew read about the 99 sheep. God is serious about this, about bearing the hatchet. Do you think he's not? I mean, when he's talking about, you know, whacking off a hand or chopping off a foot, that'd freak you out if I used that as a prop this morning, wouldn't it? I need a volunteer. Boy, he's serious. Pluck out an eye. That's serious talk. We would never do that in real life. I mean, if you do, then we need to take you to a medical facility to be examined. Okay? Jesus isn't saying go cutting your hands and feet off. What he's emphasizing is the seriousness of how we have to deal with stumbling blocks. There's something very difficult to do, but we have to do it. James 3:2, for in many ways we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle his own tongue. Romans 14:13, let us not judge one another anymore. Rather, determine this, not to put an obstacle in a brother's way. And we let that pride come in the way. We trip him up. We hurt others. God's serious about this. He's absolutely serious about this. And so if you think you're going to go ahead and just bury the hatchet and leave that handle out so you can grab it quickly later on, you better understand God is absolutely serious. When he buries a hatchet, he wants it all the way gone. It's absolutely imperative we understand that God doesn't want us holding grudges against anybody, and he will judge us based on that. As serious as you are as not cutting your hands and feet off, more serious is he that we do not hold a grudge against anybody. You want to stop good church growth? You want to hurt the church? Hold a grudge. That's all you have to do. Hold a grudge. Number three, there is a way to force the burial of the hatchet. Yeah, there's a way. Even if you don't want to bury the hatchet, God provides a way to help you bury the hatchet. Continue on. Matthew 18:15-20. If your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take two or three more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses even to listen to the church, let him be as unto you as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if any two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The last verse of what I just read ranks right up there as one of the more misquoted passages. One might say concerning group prayer, well, Jesus, right in the midst of us. Ah, come on, you've used it before. You're praying with somebody. Boy, there's power in prayer. Yep, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. Did you feel Jesus right there? But what's interesting is what we say, well, we ascribe to fellowship, is actually judgment in dealing with lack of fellowship. It's the exact opposite. Jesus is right there. If there's a judgment carried out, he's right there backing your decision. If you used his authority, he stands behind his authority every single time. What do you do when someone hurts you? There's a need to bury the hatchet and move on. You should go to that person. You say, brother, this thing, I'm tired of carrying this around. I mean, they're stopping me at airports. I mean, this is like bad news. I need to bury this. I have something in my heart. But they say, I refuse to. I like carrying the hatchet. I practice throwing it. What are you supposed to do? Then you go get a couple more brothers. You come back and say, well, you know, I want to bury the hatchet. And look at these two. See, I want to bury the hatchet with you. And they say, I refuse. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to hold a grudge. Then you need to take it to the church. Church, I want to bury the hatchet. And what if he refuses to hear them? Then you turn your back on him. Say, we're not going to let you carry hatchets. We're not going to let you bring your hatchets into the church because it divides the church. Because if you can swing a hatchet around, if you can whack this brother with your hatchet, then I can whack you with your hatchet. And pretty soon we're church mafia. Psst, come here. Got a hatchet job for you. If there's any mafia here, no offense. Okay. I got an offer you can't refuse, a potluck. But we start swinging this thing around, and pretty soon everybody's hatchet wielding. There are no hatchets in the Lord's church. We're not permitted to carry a hatchet. Now, there's legitimate hatchets, and there's non-legitimate hatchets. But this actually confirms if it's a legitimate hatchet or not. If it's a legitimate hatchet, that's why you bring the witnesses. They say, you know what, brother, you really should bury that hatchet. I think it's a real hatchet. I think it could hurt. Then you establish it. And then Jesus, because they use the Bible, yeah, you know, it says here you shouldn't be behaving that way. That's why you establish it. Church discipline isn't because you hate somebody. It's because you love them. You love the whole church. And you want her strong. You want her hatchet free. This pattern set forth by God. Because God wants peace among us. You know, as often as you've done it unto these, the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You planted one of these bad boys in the back of one of your brothers. Do you see it sticking out of Jesus' back? We can't be carrying the hatchet. And number four, most importantly, God has already buried his hatchet against you. He's buried it. Matthew 18, verse 21. Peter came up to him. He said, Lord, how often shall I sin, my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? See, there were some Jews teaching up to, you know, after the eighth time, you let him have it. Okay, so they come up and they bump you with the hatchet, intimidate you with it. On the eighth time, pow, right in the kisser, right, Jesus? I heard a rabbi say that. No, Jesus says 70 times 7. He's quoting Lamech, of course. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, Lamech shall be avenged 77-fold. As bad as Lamech was, good as we should be. But he says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with the slaves. He forgave this one slave 10,000 talents, a lifetime's of debt. He couldn't pay it. He says, you're free from it, okay? Because the guy pleaded, please forgive me, I can't pay it. He forgave him. He walked out of there free, man. Hatchet free. Praise God, hallelujah. Wait a second, who's that? Isn't that guy who owed me that money for that Pepsi I bought him? And he went and grabbed his, quote, fellow servant. Okay? This is his friend. He grabs him around the neck and says, I want my money. It was equivalent to just like a day's wage. It was some real small amount. When the king found out about that he threw his brother in prison. So when his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were deeply grieved, and they came and reported to their lord all that happened. They summoning him. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you of all that because you entreated me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave, even as I have had mercy on you? And the lord moved with anger and handed him over to the torturers until he should repay what he was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father do to you if each of you do not forgive his brother from his heart. You've entered a covenant with God. If you entered the covenant of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have been immersed into Jesus Christ with a repentant heart, trusting only in him. You know what God did? God had a hatchet against us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Not even that other one. No one. And the wages of sin is death, and no man can come unto God. God had a hatchet against all mankind, and then we came to him through Jesus Christ. He atoned for our sins, and peace was made. Colossians 1:19 and 20 says, the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. God was able to open the ground up through the blood of Jesus Christ and lay his hatchet in the ground, cover it up. He put your sins as far as east is from the west, the depths of the sea, behind his back. He washed you clean with the blood of the Lamb, white as snow. Nailed your sins to the cross by the handwriting of the ordinances which was against us and contrary to us. They're gone. He buried the hatchet. He says, now we have peace. Peace be yours because God buried his hatchet of judgment against you. Now how can you then pull your little hatchet out with your brother? God buries his hatchet for you. And then when you think he's not looking, you plant one of these bad boys right in the back of him. Yeah, now you're going to get it. You think God's going to let you get away with that? The one who buried his hatchet can dig it up. If you do not forgive your brothers, neither will God forgive you, Matthew chapter 6 tells us. If you're going to hold grudges, if you're going to have a hatchet against your brother, God's going to dig up his hatchet against you. This cannot be. It cannot be. If you're holding a hatchet against somebody, if you're holding ill in your heart towards somebody, and that handle's sticking out, and you're walking by, and every time you see that person, you see this part sticking up, and you're thinking, I'm just one grab away from that. You're at that boiling point. You better dig that hole deeper and get rid of it today. While it's still cold today, because you may not have tomorrow. In Ernest Gordon's book, Miracle on the River Kwai, there's a great story of interest. He writes about some Scottish soldiers forced by their Japanese captors into labor in the Jungle Railroad. And these men were emaciated. They were degenerated. This is a horrible, horrible event in these people's life. But one afternoon, something happened. There was a shovel missing. And the officer in charge for the Japanese, he said, there's a shovel missing. And he started waving his pistol around and threatening them, saying, I'm going to kill all of you if I don't know where this pistol or where this shovel is. I want it now. It was obvious the officer meant what he said. They'd already seen many men killed this way. Then finally, one man stepped forward. The officer put away his gun and picked up the shovel. And the Japanese soldier beat this man to death with that shovel. And when it was over, the survivors picked up the Scottish soldier's corpse, carried it with them to the second tool check. And this time, however, there was no shovel missing. Indeed, there had been a miscount at the first checkpoint. The word spread like wildfire through the whole camp. An innocent man had been willing to die for all those other people. One man stepped forward and said, I will not have my fellow soldiers die I'll take the blame. The incident had a profound effect. The men began to treat each other like brothers. When the victorious allies came in, the survivors, human skeletons, lined up in front of their captors. And instead of attacking their captors, they insisted no more hatred, no more killing. Now what we need is forgiveness. I leave you with this closing charge. Brothers and sisters, the man God, Christ Jesus, came into the world and died for your sins and mine. We deserve to be beat to death with that shovel. But Christ stepped forward. And now's the time to be regenerated with the thought and spread it like wildfire throughout the entire world. There is no missing shovel, for Jesus is holding it right now and is willing to help you dig a hole and bury your hatchet to drop it in. He's waiting for you. But what are you going to do? Who are you holding a hatchet for? Is it your spouse? Maybe one of your kids? Might be a parent? Maybe an old friend? Maybe it's a coworker? Is it somebody in this room? Who is it? Search your heart closely. Look intently. Think about it deeply. Who do you have one of these for? Need to have Jesus dig you a hole, and together he'll help you bury it. But you got to get it buried. Don't leave the handle sticking out of the ground, but bury it all in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and then move on for the kingdom of God. If you have a hatchet, get it buried. Bury it today. Now, if you need encouragement to do that, then we offer an invitation at this time for you to come forward and let us know that you have a hatchet that needs burying. Or, let's say you want to respond to the gospel this morning. You could do that as well. We give you this opportunity this morning. If you need prayers, encouragement, salvation, we leave that open to you. But if you don't come forward this morning and you have a hatchet, at least go to them and say, listen, I'm going to bury this. I want to have peace. Why don't you think about that while we stand and sing?